This morning we're going to begin a series, and we're going to look at this whole idea of different kind of themes of bread, shall we say, in Scripture, or the term bread, or the idea of what does bread have to say to us within the Word of God as we look towards Easter and towards, again, this Lenten journey. One of the things that you'll notice, hopefully, is that every Sunday we're going to try and bake a loaf or two of bread. And so when you go through coffee time, you're going to hopefully be one of the early ones and get a piece of fresh baked bread, all right? But the whole idea is just to see what does the Word of God say about this whole idea of bread. And this morning we begin that journey with a passage that is really the beginning of Christ's ministry here on earth. And it's the first few verses of Christ's temptation. And so we read from Matthew chapter 4, the first four verses. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is the Word of God. Gluten-free. Become a big term within my lifetime. I mean, gluten sounds like something from Germany. I had no idea what it was. And people would start to talk about gluten-free this or gluten-free that. And it's become a way of life. And yet for many people, we might understand or we might see what it means to be gluten-free, or we might read it on a package, or we might know that there's a certain section in the grocery store. But again, gluten, what's a gluten? What's that, you know? Or I would think about my gluteus maximus, right? But gluten, what in the... Well, you know, gluten, my understanding, and very simple, gluten is about proteins. And it's about proteins that are in, again, grains and products of grains and baked things, and basically they hold together, again, the whether it be wheat or whether it be barley or whatever it might be, and they make things rise up and they make things chewy, all right, and moist kind of stuff. So if you're somebody who works with gluten-free stuff, which I have been playing with and trying with, a lot of times, you know, gluten-free products can be like sawdust, all right, or tree bark, all right. But again, it's this whole idea of this stuff that makes that bread so fluffy and tasty and chewy. It's that sensation where you take that loaf of bread out of the oven just after it got done baking, and you go to tear a piece off, and it stretches, you know. And then you put that warm butter on it, and it melts all over it, and you stuff that whole piece in your mouth, and it's chewy, and it's moist, and that's gluten. That's gluten. That's kind of that thing that happens, and, you know, we love it. And yet, is that all there is to life? Just this whole sensation of, ooh, savory and tasty. We pick up that story about Jesus here in Scripture, where almost immediately after he is baptized by the Holy Spirit, he's tempted. And in this first temptation, it goes right to, again, this idea of gluten, this idea of this savoriness, this idea of, oh, I'm so hungry in that warm, moist, chewy, stretchy bread. comes to mind, and the devil says, turn those stones into bread. You've been fasting for 40 days. You haven't had any gluten for 40 days. You're sitting there with a stomach that is truly willing to be tempted at its most high point. And Jesus responds, we don't live by bread alone. We don't live by gluten alone. We can do without that moist, buttery, stretchy bread. What we need is the word of God. He looks at the devil and says, we don't need that bread. Our stomach might think we do, but all it is our stomach. We need the presence, the knowledge, the speaking, the presence, the word of God within our lives. We live sometimes in a wilderness. I don't know about you, but for me, more and more, the world seems to be a place that I don't understand. Yet again this morning, I saw a demonstration against people who were upset about violence by police officers. And again, I'm not saying what's right or what's wrong, but there's this sense of hate between people that I've never, ever felt before in 51 years of life. I look around the world and saw images this morning in the news of yet again more hostages put into little cages by ISIS, and that those hostages would soon be killed as well. I see unrest in the Ukraine. I see things happening within our own country, and we live in a wilderness. And it's so easy to be tempted. And it's so easy that we get hungry just to find something that will take all that craziness away. Something within us that stirs where it seems like that fresh loaf of bread, those fresh rolls that have risen so high, that butter-drenched material tearing it apart, warm and putting it in our mouths, that will do it. But that's just our stomach. It doesn't take the wilderness away. It doesn't take the challenges away. And again, we need the word of God. We need, as we live our life, something more than just fills our stomach. And so what we learn from this passage is, first of all, that the human spirit needs to be nourished. Now, what are you saying, Paul? So often we think about, again, nourishment as our stomach. And yet what we need to look at in our lives, and when we look at the wilderness in which we live, we need to recognize that the human spirit needs to be nourished. And if we're honest, we're all aware of this. We're all aware of this. We can look around our world and we can see people who, in the world's eyes, in the wilderness's eyes, they have everything and yet they are still empty. It seems like, again, every week, every month, you read a story about somebody famous, somebody who had had it all, who ends up with nothing, ends up ending their life, ends up lost and alone. You thought they had a full stomach, and yet they were still completely empty. The human spirit needs to be nourished. We go through our lives, and each of us, at some point, struggle with a hole in who we are. we struggle with. Maybe we call it depression. Maybe we call it anxiety. Maybe we call it meaning. Maybe we call it peace. But we struggle with a hole inside of us, that why question in our life. And we need to be nourished. Our world is filled with a sense of needing to know God, and yet much of our world struggles to find that inner nourishment, that spirit food. We're challenged to drown out the world. We're challenged to try and put aside all the craziness of the wilderness we live in and to find God, but we struggle to get back. And when the spirit is weak, and when the spirit is malnourished, then we are easy targets for the evil one. We are easy targets for, again, a way of living that seems to fill our stomach but does nothing for the human soul, the human spirit. We miss the boat. We get involved with junk food. Not the Word of God, not the things that truly will nourish the spirit, but we think in our minds that pursuing wealth or pursuing power or pursuing popularity, pursuing looks, pursuing whatever it might be of this world will truly help us arrive. And yet that's just junk food. Stuff that's filled with nothing. And our soul continues to linger. Our soul continues to be empty, and we are malnourished. And even sitting here this morning, calling ourselves churchgoers, at least, Christians maybe at best, many of us are malnourished. We're malnourished because we're immature, and we like to stay that way. Again, I go on Sundays, I check it off the list, and I'm okay, and I'm only going to be this deep. Or maybe we want that simple teaching. We don't want the advanced placement classes. We don't want that ability to really dig deep. We just want to stay so deep. And in that, we as churchgoers, as God-fearers, as Christians, are malnourished. And again, in being malnourished, we are frail, and when we are frail, we are susceptible to temptation. And so again, we live in this world, we think that we have answers. And yet our spirit, which we know is seeking God, which we know is looking for answers, is malnourished. And Christ says, what about the Word of God? Forget about the Cheetos. Forget about the mac and cheese. Forget about the fresh loaf of bread. What about the Word of God? And one commentator said something that really struck me. And I think this is the challenging point for all of us. What is the Word of God? Many of us look at the Word of God as a textbook. We look at it as a book where we find information, a dictionary, a resource book. But we don't look at it as food for life. We don't look at it as a light for our darkened world. We don't look at it as that thing that contains the wisdom of living, the insight for living, the guidance for living. We just look at it as, well, here's this textbook, and my pastor says I should read it, and we're doing this thing where we're reading it all and reading even another book on top of it, and boy, this seems a whole lot like school. I just can't keep up. I'll just pick it up every now and then. Sound familiar? And yet Jesus says we should eat this up. This should be our bread. This should be our life-giving source. This is, again, where wisdom and insight, light and life, it all comes from. Not our stomachs. Not what the wilderness says is right. How does the word help us? And I love these images. First of all, it gives us a reservoir of wisdom. It gives us a bank. If we truly eat, if we truly read, if we truly embody this book, then we have a bank to draw from as needed. As we live our lives, it's this that is in our gut. It's this that is in our spirit. And when our spirit is nourished and our spirit is healthy, then all of a sudden we can draw from that wisdom. We can draw from that guidance. We can draw from that life and that light when the challenges come. When we truly eat this, when we truly embody this, there's a calm in crisis. And the other side of that is as we make decisions in life, whether or not to stay, whether or not to go, move, new jobs, new car, whatever the decisions might be, then we have this, the Word of God, which helps us make good decisions. That as the storms of life come, there's a calm because of this, the Word of God. It's again that reservoir, again the calm and the storm. It's that which we store within our heart. And when we're able to store the Word of God in our heart, then we can, again, guard our life. As we live life, as we face, again, the wilderness journey, as we are tempted, as we are pressed upon from the world around us, we can guard our heart, guard our lives, guard our families. It's the Word that feeds us. It's the Word that strengthens us. It's the Word that nourishes us. It's the Word that brings us life. So again, Jesus, in the midst of this temptation, 40 days of not eating, the devil says, open up the oven, Lord. Open it up because there's that hot, gluten-filled loaf of bread. He says, no. That's not what it's about. It's about the Word. It's about the voice of my Father in this Word and into each of you. It's about that bread of life that nurtures and nourishes the human spirit and condition. It's that which nourishment changes our lives. So why in the world are we malnourished? Why in the world are most of us sitting here right now so desperately hungry? Why is it that we struggle to put down the gluten and pick up that which will truly fill us? I don't know if you remember how many years ago it was, but it was a fairly popular movie. And it was Castaway with Tom Hanks. And I don't know if you remember the idea of the movie, but here he is, a pilot who is flying cargo for FedEx, and his plane goes down, and he's marooned on an island by himself for, I think it was like 4 years, something like that. And if you remember anything else about the movie, you'll remember two important things. One is that his best friend, let's see if you're awake this morning, who became his best friend on the island? Wilson, who was what? A volleyball. And he held on to something the whole time he was on the island. He held on to what? What? Was what? But what else? Something to be delivered, remember? A package. And he held on to that package, and he got rescued. And after he got rescued, what did he do? He sought out the person who it was supposed to be delivered to, and he went and he delivered it. Now, a few years later, FedEx used that premise for a commercial during the Super Bowl. Anybody remember the commercial? Maybe. Yes? No? And the whole idea was, it picked up the story. He goes to the door. He rings the doorbell. This woman comes to the door. He hands her the package with this kind of, you know, intense moment. He turns around to walk away, and he says, ma'am, he says, I got to ask, can I know what's in the package? And remember, he's held on to this package the whole time he was removed. He was wrecked on the island. He's held on to it thinking, I've got to deliver this. This is my goal. This keeps me going. I've got to make sure he delivers it. She says, sure. She opens it, and inside matches, water purification, a satellite phone, seeds to be planted for plants to be eaten. And the whole joke was, hey, you should have opened it while you were marooned on the island, right? It's the same way for us, folks. You know that there is truth in this book. You know that this book can guide you, direct you. You know that this book can lift you up out of those dark holes of life. You know that this can nourish your spirit. The problem is, we don't open it. We don't open it. We don't listen for its teachings. We don't do what it tells us to do. We don't read it, embody it. We just let it sit nicely on a shelf or on our desk or maybe on our nightstand. And the whole time, it has the things that lead to a fuller life, lead to life abundantly, lead to a life in which we can face tomorrow, a life and a light and a way of living. You see, that's the problem. We just don't open the package. We just don't do it. A few years ago, we had taught us a Bible study, and one of the things that we said is, what's the most difficult part and the most important part of any Bible study? And people said, well, getting through all the readings. And people said, filling out the questionnaires or the answers. The most difficult, the most challenging, and the most important part of any Bible study is application. We come here on a Sunday and we learn together and we grow together, but do we apply it? When we hear that it says, love your mother and father, that your days might be long upon the land which we give, do we go and love our mothers and fathers? When it talks about love your wife, obey your husband, do we do those things? When it talks about giving to the needy, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, do we do those things? When it says pray without ceasing, do we do that? You see, all these things are in the Word. All these things will nourish our spirit. All these things will help us live in the midst of this wilderness. But we don't open the package. And so this morning, as we begin this journey to the cross, and as we think with kind of a veiled face about the resurrection, what's more important to you? Getting that nice, warm gob of gluten? Filled up, torn off the end of that loaf, all of that butter, maybe some jam too while it's warm, and shoving it all in your mouth. Ooh. Or the Word of God. And living according to a God who loves you, who wants to walk with you, who wants to fill your life, who wants to help you. And yet we don't open the package. We can live gluten-free, folks. We can live gluten-free.